Jeremiah chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priest. And go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. Let's jump down to verse 10 here. Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel, that cannot be made whole again. They shall bury them in Tophet, or however you say that, till there be no place to bury. So we was reading in verse 1, we see that the Lord said here, told Jeremiah to go get a potter's earthen bottle. We see that after he told him what to do and where to go, we read in verse 10, we see that now he wants to break the bottle in the sight of the men. I thought about this, and as I begin to pray and seek the Lord about this service, the Lord just began to deal with me on a thought. He will make you or he will break you. He will make you or either he will break you. And I begin to think as I begin to pray and the Lord begin to deal with me, as we read in chapter 18, as a wife preached and sung tonight about the potter and the clay and didn't throw the clay away. We read in chapter 18 about the potter and Jeremiah talking about the potter, going down to the potter's house. The Lord told him, arise, go down to the potter's house, and I will cause thee to hear my words. And we know, all know the story that Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and there he worked on that wheel, and he took that clay, and he laid it on the wheel. And we know the story there that he took that clay that was marred. It was messed up, but he took it and began to work on it. He began to make that piece of mud, that piece of clay, he began to make it into a vessel of, he began to make it into something that looked like nothing. He made it into something that is beautiful. I've seen the potter begin to work, and this is not where I'm going to stay here. I know that you've heard this preached on many, many times, but I just got somewhere to go here tonight if the Lord will help me. But I've watched the potter as I've been places, and a potter would sit there, and he would begin to work on that clay. He would hit it with his fist. He would tighten it up. He'd take some water, put it on his hands, and he'd begin to make that clay and just a lump. He began to work with it. He began to make something, and it would begin to form into a bowl or some kind of vessel. He would take that thing, and then he would take some kind of piece of paper or whatever, and he would take it and dip it into water and put it there on the side of that the thing he was making there. It had ridges, and it had places that it you couldn't hardly see. But if you get real close, you can see the fine ridges in it. But he would take that piece of paper or whatever it is, and he began to work on it and begin to smooth that thing out. And when he got finished, that thing was just a beautiful vase or a beautiful bowl. But he would make something out of it. And the Lord began to deal with me and begin to let me see that the potter's wheel here, as he begins to mold it, and he begins to make that that vessel he begins to make. But in chapter 19, he turned around. Brother Tim, right after he made the vessel, it may have not been the same one that he went down to the potter's house and seen. I don't know. But there was a vessel that had already been hardened. There had been a vessel that had already been made. So in chapter 18, he's making a vessel. The Lord's showing how he can make a vessel. But in chapter 19, he turns around and breaks the vessel. I tell you, he can either make us or break us. We look at chapter 19 and see that he tells him to go down and get a potter's earthen bottle, to go down and take that bottle. You go down to the valley of the son of Hinnom, and you go down there and you do and say what I tell you to say. And then we read in this chapter, he says, now take that bottle and you throw it down and break it. You know what happened with that bottle? It already become hard. It had already got to the point there was nothing else left to do with from the potter. The potter could do nothing else with that bottle but break it. It was either going to have to sit there and be something that we look at, or it was going to have to be broken. You know what? We got enough vessels in the house of God. We got enough people that just sit there. We got enough people that comes to church and has the form of the vessel, but has become too hard to be worked on. Come on now, I need you to help me tonight. I've come tonight not with just an outline. I've not come tonight to get up here and to say I preach filth weekend, but I've come with a burden tonight. And there's some people that you done got tired of the wheel, and you're beginning to be hardened. But I tell you, either he's going to make you or either he's going to break you. I said either he's going to make you or either he's going to break you. I know that the wheel gets hard. I know that sometimes it's rough. I know when he's trying to shape us, it hurts. But I tell you what we need to do, church. We need to stay on the wheel. We need to let him mold us. We need to let him to make us into what he has us to be. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to rush here. I want to take my time. I just bear with me tonight. But in chapter 19, we begin to see him as he goes down, and the Lord begins to tell him what to tell him. Chapter 18, he begins to tell him what he can do. This is what I can do with you. This is what I can make you into. If you turn from your wicked ways, this is what I can do. But you know what happened? They begin to reject the potter, Brother Tim. They begin to reject him. Didn't want to have to listen to the word. They didn't want to listen to what Jeremiah had to say. They didn't want to listen to the word of God in chapter 18. But in chapter 19, because of their sin. In chapter 19, they begin to talk how they begin to forsake God. They begin to talk about their idolatry. They begin to talk about them worshiping false gods and shedding of innocent blood. But there was so much more. But there was disobedience. And he said, I've gave you the chance. I've done everything. I've showed you I can mold you. I've showed you I can make you. But you have rejected my warning. You have rejected. How many times has the Lord tried to work on you? How many times has the Lord tried to help you and to make you into something? But you rejected him, and you rejected over and over and over again. I tell you what, tonight I would get in these altars and pray and say, Lord, put me back in the wheel. I may be marred, I may be broken, Lord, but would you put me back in the wheel that you'll not break me like he did that vessel? Oh, come on. Hallelujah. He was trying to make them into something. He wants to make us into something, church. He's wanting to make this, we are in the last days. He wants to make this this hour that we live. He's trying to make this church. If there was ever a time that we needed to be full of the Holy Ghost, it's now. Come on now. I said if it's ever a time that we needed to be full of the power of God, it is the hour that we live in.
But what do I see when I go and I preach from church to church? And I look from church. I go to camp meetings and places. And I look across the congregation. And I see such an unconcern with the people of God. Come on now. I said, come on now. I mean, I'm seeing an unconcern with the house of God. You know, Brother Tim, it really bothers me. I'm just going to be truthful. Brother Jim, you're my pastor. You call me off, brother. I'm just going to be truthful with you. There for a few years, the last few years, I got tired of Brother Tim. I got tired of struggling. I didn't backslide, don't get me wrong. No, I didn't turn my back on God. But I didn't do everything. There was opportunities to witness. There was opportunities to do things. And I began to sit back. And I began to get hard, so to speak. I began to get too hard to be moved. Too hard to get in. Too hard to sow in. Too hard to get in and praise God in a service. And I had to get down. I don't know, probably a year and a half, 2 years ago. I had to get down and say, God, I've been fighting against you. You've tried to mold me and make me. But Lord, I fought against you. You've tried to help me. But Lord, I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. Lord, I was too shy. Lord, I was too, I just don't know why. But Lord, would you help me? I tell you, I begin to plow up that old hard ground and say, Lord, soften my heart. And Lord, I'd go out and I witness to this world. And Lord, I see the lost, and I'd go out and want to see them saved.
But you know what bothers me? You know, Brother Tim, what really bothers me is when I see somebody come in, they're lost, they're undone. They come in, sit down on the church pew, and we get up and we sing our songs. We get up and we praise and raise our hands. We get up and the preacher preaches a message. He gets up and opens his Bible, preaches his heart out, wears himself down till he can't even hardly have any strength to crawl out of the pulpit. And they get right up and walk out of the same door the same way that they came. But you know what bothers me the most? I mean, that tears me up. I can't stand it, Brother Jim, to see somebody lost come in and leave lost. But what tears me up even more is when I look at the congregation, including me, I'm preaching to myself now, but I look around and see a church that does not seem concerned. They don't even act like it even bothers them one ounce. I tell you what, church, we need to get back on the wheel. There's a harvest out there. There's people out there to be saved. There's people that sits among us that need to be saved, but we got to a point, we have got too hard for God to use us. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. I promise in the morning I'm going to try to preach you an uplifting message, but I got a burden tonight to preach to us. Oh, I got a burden tonight. I feel like some of us, it's getting too hard for God to use you. I tell you what, church, it ought to break our hearts when the lost comes in and they leave. It ought to make us want to crawl ourselves down to the altar and say, God, I don't know why that soul left without being saved, but God, would just save them. Lord, would just show them mercy. They may never see the house of God again. Oh, hallelujah. But we've got too hard. We have got too hard. Come on now. I need you to help me. Oh, I tell you, this hour, the hour that we live, the Lord's wanting to make us soul winners. The Lord's wanting us to win the lost. But I know Brother Jim's been preaching a lot on it at the home church.
He's been preaching to us about the lost. Brother Jim's been out going into the slums and talking to the lost and inviting them to church and trying to win them over to the Lord. And it's got me stirred up even more. And I know some of you may say, well, that's just cause your pastor stirred up. That's the reason you're getting up here preaching on winning the lost. Oh, it's just cause your pastor. But it ought not to be just Union Grove. But it ought to be every church that claims to be a church of the living God. That ought to be broken up. It ought to be able to be shaped. They ought to be able to be molded. And they should get out and win lost souls. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, Brother Jim, calm me down if I get wrong here. But I tell you what, church, we living in an hour that we're still living 30 years ago. Don't get me wrong, I don't believe in interracial marrying. I don't believe in none of that. But on the inside of a different color skin, it's the same blood, same color, it's the same soul, it's the same heart. I heard somebody a while back say, I tell you what, if that would have been my pastor and that person come, and they come to my church, he would have told them there's a church down the road that you can go and see. I tell you what, church, that ought to break your heart and make you get in the altar and say, Lord, don't let me look on the outside, but Lord, let me look at there's a soul to be won. And oh, Lord, would you help them? Would you save them? But we got too many people that is too hard and too broken and too much hatred to even reach down and try to pull that person to the house of God.
Oh, hallelujah. Don't matter to me what color they are. It don't matter to me what they've done. I was hoping he was going to be here tonight. Boy, I went to school with. And I'd say this if he was here. I know it wouldn't embarrass him. I believe he's got a testimony. Brother Jim knows, Brother Jim's been working with him, but he's been in a lot of trouble. I've dealt with him, worked with him and talked to him. I've seen the trouble he's been in. I've seen the things he done while we was in school, but turned into a worse person when he got out. But you know what? That old boy, some of you at Aimwell seen him. He's been a revival with us some. Some of you have been visiting the church. Brother Doug Padgett and them, us met him. He come to the church. He got to talking with me one day. I got to working with him and staying on him by coming to church. He came to church. Lord began to deal with him. And I tell you what, church, he got tattoos on his neck. Got tattoos all the way down, all over his hands and fingers. And you know what a lot of people would do? They would look at him and say, nope. I ain't gonna mess with him. I ain't gonna touch him. Oh, people's gonna talk about me if they see him in my church. People's gonna talk about him if they see him on my pews. They're gonna think I backslid. They're gonna think I don't have a standard anymore. I tell you what, church, we need to get broken up. And we need to realize that he's still got a soul. We invited him to the house of God. He went down to an altar. He began to pray. He began to get saved. I tell you, the same God. I said, the same God that saved my old soul. Saved that boy. He washed him and made him whole. I tell you what, church, it can happen. I say it can happen if we get broken up and quit being so hard.
Oh, hallelujah. Other Sunday morning, got it working on some friends of mine. Some of them work with me, some of them know. Two black boys. Brother Tim, I love them boys just like any other friend I have. I mean, I want to see them boys saved. I want to see them in the house of God. I invited them to church. We was going to have service that Sunday. And it was second Sunday. I forgot who was there. I forgot who was preaching that Sunday. Brother Vic Ruiz. Brother Vic Ruiz was there. He was going to preach for us. said, hey, we got a visiting preacher, and it wasn't just because we had a visiting preacher. I thank the world of my pastor. I mean, I put him up there with any other preacher, any other great man of God, I put him up there. But I tell you, I invite him to the house of God. It just worked out. Both of them said, I'm going to be there. One of them met me at my house at 9:30. I was waiting on the other one. He called me and said, well, I overslept. I'm going, I don't know. I said, come on. I gave him the directions. And you know where Union Grove is. You know we out in the middle of nowhere. I figured he couldn't find us, but I gave him detailed instructions how to be there. He said, well, I try my best to be there at 11 o'clock. So I kept my phone on. Don't hold it against me. I kept my phone on and on the pew. I had it on vibrate where it wouldn't disturb the church. Come on now. I think we need to preach on that more. The phone's going off in the house of God. But oh, and the distractions in the house of God. Oh, but let me tell you something. My phone vibrated about 10 minutes till 11 o'clock. Brother Michael was still teaching Sunday school. I walked out there. I looked and I seen it was him calling. So I figured he was there at the church. I walked out and looked there. He was walking across the churchyard. I mean, it bubbled up in me. They both was there with church with me. They both sit in the pews. I invite them to come this weekend. And you know, I tell you, Union Grove, the ones of you that's here, y'all made me feel good. That everyone in that church had wrapped their arms up, maybe not went up and hugged them, but shook their hand, told them how much they appreciate them being there. Brought them back. We had dinner at a church. We fed them, made them feel comfortable. You know what one had done said? He said, I'd been to the house of God. I'd have been embarrassed. I told myself I'd never go back. He said, but you called me and asked me. He said, I come. I felt comfortable. I felt at home. He said, I felt good in Georgia. He said, I'll be back. He said, I'll be back. I tell you, they didn't go down to an altar. They ain't got saved yet. But I've been talking with them. I've been listening to them. And the Lord's dealing with them. I tell you what, church, if we get broken up, I said, if we get broken up and not be so hard, he can help us. We can see souls saved.
Oh, hallelujah. I was talking to my cousin today. I was at a family reunion earlier today in Macon. He pastors a church up there. They're not holiness. But I asked him, I said, how's the church doing? He said, well, it's doing all right. I said, is it growing? He said, well, no. He said, people comes, and they leave. They come, and then they leave. We see more come, and they leave. You know what? After a while, Brother Tim, that'll make you hard. Oh, I mean, you'll get broken up. You'll get out up there, and you'll begin to win the lost. You'll begin to see great things, but then they begin to fall away. Oh, everything's been going good, but then they begin to fall away. We get so hard, burned down. Lord, I've been working so hard, but I'm not seeing any results. I tell you what, church, if we'll stay on the wheel, we'll stay pliable, we'll stay where he can mold us, he can keep us soft. You know what I seen the potter do when the water or the pottery begin to get hard? He didn't let it stay hard, but he took a little water, he put it on the end of his hand, and he began to mold it and make that thing wet, and it began to shape right into a word. You know what we need to do? We need the Holy Ghost to come down tonight and just put his hand upon us and wet us real good and soften us up and tear us up and to the point we'll begin to get pliable again, and we'll get to the point that, Lord, you can mold me and make me into what you have me to be.
Oh, hallelujah. I know you're getting tired of these stories. Oh, but I tell you what, if you get broken up and you get softened again and let the Lord use you, you'll have some testimonies to tell somebody about. It was about several weeks ago. I was praying, Lord, help me to witness, Lord. Break me up, Lord. Make me soft, Lord. Make me see sin. Oh, till it breaks me. And I'd reach out. I'd do everything I got to do to talk to that person and win them over and tell them about the Lord. I was praying. I called Brother Jim later on that day and told him about it. And I was praying, Lord, would you use me? Send me somebody, Lord, to talk to. Most of you know I work with the sheriff department there, the county I live. Come on to work that night, riding down the interstate in the middle of nowhere. This old trashy. Not had a bath for days. Whoa, I mean, I don't want to be ugly, but it stunk. I mean, was awful. And I stopped there and pulled up beside him. And I checked him, made sure he wasn't wanted or anything like that. Told him, get in the back of my vehicle. I said, I'm going to run you down to the county line, which is about 16 miles from where he was at to the county line. So I'm going to run you down there and drop you off. And I'm going to be honest with you, church. I put that man in the back of my vehicle. And I said, here we go again. Another homeless man. Stinks. Got my vehicle smelling. Had to roll down the windows. I can't take smells. I can see a lot of things. I can't take smells. I mean, it was awful. I said to myself, oh, not again. Before I got that vehicle and drive, Brother Tim, I mean, before I got it and drive good, the Lord done spoke my heart. He done broke me up and said, boy, you've been praying about it. You've been praying that I'd send you somebody. I was expecting to be some good-smelling person. Shave good. Oh, look good. Dress good. Oh, but he sent me one of the rottenest, dirty sinners that he could have sent me. But you know what I did, Brother Tim? Oh, I took him down that interstate, got him out. I said, boy, anybody ever told you about Jesus? I said, anybody ever told you about the Lord? I said, do you know that he loves you? He cares about you. I didn't spend probably 30 seconds. But when I left, that boy knew about Jesus. I tell you what, I got in my vehicle, turned around, started heading back into the county. And 2 miles up the road, there was another homeless, black, stinking man. And I don't say that in disrespect. But I said, oh, I didn't think about how he smelled. I didn't think about what it looked like. I yanked that vehicle in. I put him in the back. And before we ever pulled off, I began to tell him about Jesus. I began to tell him about one that can save him. I began to tell him about one that can help him. You know what happened? We got down there in Emanuel County. I dropped him off at US 1 a few miles into the next county. He got out of that vehicle. And I looked at him. I shook his hand, or he reached out to shake mine. He said, brother, or officer, whatever he said. He said, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for what you said. Appreciate it. I said, boy, never forget. I said, never forget about the one I just told you about. Oh, because when everybody else turns your back on you, when nobody else will put a roof over your head, when nobody else loves you, he died for you. I said, when nobody else cares about you, he died for you. Whoa! If that don't get you excited, I don't know what to get your heart vessel excited about. I tell you what, church, I let him break you up tonight. I let him break you down and put some spirit and put that water back on you and soften you up again. Oh, hallelujah. I got to come to a close here somewhere. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Oh, I just want to take my time. Oh, we've been hard long enough, church. There has been years. Oh, this is what I feel. I said there has been years that has went by that we have sit on the pew long enough, church. Come on now. I said we have sit on the pew long enough and watched sinners go to hell. We have sat on the pew long enough and watched saints walk out of the back door and backslide. We have seen it too long. We have let it go by
too far. We have now got to break ourselves up. We have got to fall back into the altar. I tell you what's wrong. We got too many dusty Bibles and we got too many dusty altars. We got to wipe the dust off. We got to find back in the altars. We got to get a hold of it and say, Lord, break me up and make me pliable again.
Oh, in this story in chapter 19, he broke it. Verse 11 here said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so would I break this people and this city as one break of the potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. I tell you what, church, you might want to break your own heart up tonight. I said you better break your own heart up tonight. Woo, I feel it again. I need to say that one more time. I said you better break your heart up tonight. Oh, you better tender your heart up. Say, Lord, help me to break myself up. Lord, I've come too hard because I don't want you to break me. I tell you, he can do two things. He either can make you or either he can break you. I'm not saying, I'm not doing it. Understand me fully. Listen to me. I'm not saying if anybody leaves the house tonight, it should never have a chance. I'm not saying if anybody leaves the service tonight, that he's going to break you and you'll never be able to be used or put together again. That's your last chance. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that the Lord may break you if you don't get a hold of him. I tell you what, church, if there was an ever an hour that we need to fall back into this altar, like I said, it is now. It is now. Come on, church. We're seeing people walk out of the back of the church. That's it. Backslide. You know, there's a lost generation right here at this campground. Come on now. I've come and sit on the same pew with souls raised in the Calvary Holiness. And I don't see them tonight. I know there's people from churches that's not here. But I can name person after person I went to youth camp with. I went to camp meeting with. I can name you people that I've been in church with that used to sit right here at Calvary Holiness Campground, right here, back when we had the old folding chairs, right there on them. I've seen them pray in the altar. I've seen them pray through. I've seen them shout. I've seen them speak in tongues. But now where are they? They are out in this world. They are lost. They are dying lost. But we got a church that sits too hard to realize that we got to reach them. I said we got to reach them. We got to pray for them. We got to fast for them. And we'll see them come back and be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What about it? What about it tonight? Have you become too hard for God to use you? I tell you, I like black music, gospel music. Only music you should listen to, gospel. Not none of this country mess, none of this rap mess. If it ain't gospel, it ain't of God. Come on now. Oh, you need to pray through if you listen to it. But I tell you, oh, I like black gospel. There's an old song, an old black song. It says, I'm going to live so God can use me. Anywhere, anytime. But you know what, church? He's been trying to use us for a while. But have we been living where God can use you? Come on now. It seems that the hour that we live in, yes, come on to the PNA, Brendan, Dana, it's going to come to a close. But we've come to the time that the only time we seem that we can be used is the first week after we have revival. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. I said it seems like the only time that we can ever be ready to be used is right after camp meeting. But 2 weeks down the road, we've got too hard. We're back to the same old rut that we was at. Oh, we need to get back on the wheel, church. Come on now. We in the last days, souls are going to hell. People's backsliding. We seeing people right here under the sound of my voice tonight that you may be struggling. I'm not saying you're finna backslide, but you're struggling. The devil's tempting you. The devil's trying to make it so hard that you not even get help. You don't even concerned again. You don't even feel the urge to pray. You don't even feel the desire to reach him. You don't even care about reading your Bible. You don't even care about praying. I tell you what you need to do. You need to get in this altar and say, Lord, would you make me pliable again? And I'd not come too hard that you will bring me. Come on, church, let's stand tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to live so God can use me. Lord, let's bow our heads. I just feel like doing this. I just want to ask the question. You ain't got to raise your hand. Nobody looking around, but you still don't have to raise your hand. But there's some people tonight that you know who you are. You used to get out, knock on doors. You used to shout, and it's not all about the shout. It's not all about the tongue. I mean, that's just the power. Oh, that's just the evidence. I know that. But I'm just saying, you used to shout, run. You used to pray. You used to be the first one in the altar. Pray with the young people till the last one got up. You used to be so full of the power of God that the service would go on. People couldn't hardly sit you down because you wanted somebody to know about what you've been feeling. But now, years later, services later, you don't have that desire anymore. You don't feel it anymore. You don't care anymore. It seems there's no concern for a move of God anymore. There's no concern to have revival. How many of you here is tonight? You ain't got to raise your hand, but just ask yourself, am I to that point? You know, the hour we live in when we have revival, when we call the minister and we call the preacher and the comes and we're finna have, Brother Jim, we're finna have revival, and we pray a little bit, we seek God. Sunday morning, Sunday night, the preacher gets up, he preaches his heart out. Seems like the first three or four nights of revival, the preacher's got to get us right before we can ever break loose. But when the revival's over, the lights is turned off, and the peoples went home, we look back and say, oh, we could have had such a great move of God. Well, there's just next time. There's the next revival. We'll have one in 3 months. I tell you what, church, we need to get pliable again. We need to get pliable again. That God would mold us and make us, give us that desire again. Lord, we need revival. We're not just going to say it can happen at the next revival. But Lord, we need revival tonight. We need revival this week. Oh, what about you tonight? You're already telling yourself, I'm all right. I just wait till next fifth weekend. I just wait till tomorrow morning. I wait till I get back to my home church when my pastor will preach to me. I'm going to wait till the end. But ask yourself, how many times before have you already told yourself that? And you're the same way tonight as you was 2 years ago. And you're not where you was 3 years ago. I tell you what you need to do. You need to find you a place to pray tonight as they sing. Get on this altar and say, God, make me pliable again. Lord, put me back on the wheel. Lord, I've become too hard. Lord, I've come too hard for you to work with me. Lord, I've come too hard for you to use me. But Lord, don't break me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. These altars is open. Can I find one? Can I find more than one that'll step out and come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm too hard. Would you break me, Lord? Not in that context as what the Word of God said. But Lord, give me that new Lord. Give me that new desire. Give me that new hunger as these people's coming. Come on, church. Come on. Let's fall in these altars tonight. Come on. Lord, I may be marred tonight. But Lord, don't let me come too hard. Oh, that you have to break me like you did that vessel.